Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports, powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
We continue live from Peoria, Arizona. It's Wyman and Bob, Seattle Sports on 710, and it's a pleasure to speak to this man. I'm so glad this guy's back, Dave. We were both really, really bummed.
So you guys can talk MMA?
Well,
the main reason.
We'll do that at another time. We did a little yesterday. We'll get into it. But the great Mitch Haniger is here with us. How are you, man?
Good, yeah. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
How does it feel to be back? Does it feel like I never left, or does it feel any different to you as far as the vibe? Give us a sense of what a year away was like.
Yeah, it's hard to say. A little different, but it also, like, things are very much the same. You know, a lot of my teammates are still here, so that was great coming back. I had a lot of good friends on the team, so definitely hard leaving and trying to establish new friendships and stuff like that. So it's good to be back here. You know, when you play somewhere for a while, you just have like there's a camaraderie feel and a vibe, for lack of better words, that you have with guys. And then it's kind of like you transfer high schools and then you're going to a new place, a new work environment. Everything's new. You got to learn the system, teammates, all that sort of stuff. So it's good to be back. It feels good. It feels like home.
So a little closer to home when you went back to San Francisco, but did you just think there's no way I'll ever be back in Seattle, or was that something that you were like, maybe like to?
Yeah, I mean, I thought about it a lot last year. I had to try to stop myself from thinking about it. Definitely miss Seattle, and I thought, you know, maybe one day, you know, after this deal's up, I can go back to Seattle. And I just kind of, I was like, all right, well, let's cross that bridge when that time comes, and let's stay focused on, you know, the next couple of years I'm going to be here in San Francisco. And then just kind of ironic how the trade went down, and it was cool. I was super excited when I found out.
How hard was it to leave? I mean, was it, you played, obviously you were with Arizona before you came here, but this is kind of where you made your mark, obviously.
Yeah.
Was it kind of a shock at the time, like, man, I can't believe I'm in this uniform, it feels weird? Or was it
it definitely felt weird switching teams, switching organizations,
and leagues,
like I said, like leagues, I just got used to how we ran things here. I enjoyed it. Had a great relationship with, you know, people on the staff and the training room, my teammates, and then just having to restart everything, it's definitely challenging. And hats off to the guys that it's kind of seamless for them. For me, I felt like, obviously, I had just a terrible year last year with injuries and performance. And, you know, it's good to be back. I feel much more comfortable here. And, yeah, I've always loved, you know, wearing the teal and blue, and it's good to be back in the uniform.
We've seen online, like, some of the workouts that you do and some of the – I mean, it's pretty innovative. You get very interesting. Are you still kind of doing that kind of stuff? You were doing some
a little bit.
MMA stuff. And tell us about your
– I wouldn't say any of it was MMA.
You're not punching anybody?
No.
Okay.
We're going to work on that later.
Yeah. No, I'll save that for after baseball.
Yeah. But, like, some of the exercises and things, how do you characterize what you're doing?
A lot of body awareness stuff, a lot of – strength at length, a lot of just, you know, a trainer I'd worked with over the years is thinks outside the box a lot and likes to really challenge me in different ways. And I mean, I've worked with a bunch of different, but for me, I've just worked with a bunch of different people in a whole bunch of different areas, and then just kind of put it all together and do what feels right to me and what my body responds well to, and just figuring out you know, what I need, and ultimately being my own guide on how it makes me feel, and then just staying consistent and having discipline with it.
You brought up injuries. Obviously, it's been a part of your story, and you don't have normal injuries, man. You're not like, oh, I got a bad hammy, I got a twisted ankle, broken arm, I got hit in the face, I got hit in the junk.
Right.
I mean,
aren't they more like accidents, kind of?
Yeah, definitely.
Was there ever a moment where you're just like, man, I don't know if I could rehab again, or was? I mean, you had to have reached points of frustration, like, why me?
Oh, no doubt. I mean, yeah, and I think it's okay to feel that way for a little bit, but I never went down that rabbit hole of just like being stuck in the victim mindset of why, and, you know, why me? It's just like, okay, well, I don't really understand why these things keep happening, but what can I do to hopefully avoid them from happening again? And what can I learn from this situation? And I think I'm happy to be back here, and because I feel like there's a lot of guys I have relationships with that I think I can help a lot. And I know without my injuries and the setbacks and the surgeries and the hard times of, you know, being an athlete, having surgeries is not fun. And going through rehabs, and especially if taking a year, for me, that COVID year, like, I wasn't around the guys for the entire season. I was up in Seattle doing – I wasn't allowed to come to the field because we only had a certain select guys during COVID that could be at the field. So that was definitely a challenge. So I had to really focus on myself and figure out, you know, what drives me and all these sorts of things and work on my body and get away from the game for a little bit. And that was tough. But I think ultimately it helped me where I'm at today. I'm much more comfortable in my own skin. I know who I am, and I'm excited to hopefully help some other guys. And I know definitely have a soft spot for guys that are going through injuries or surgery, and try to make sure I reach out to them and make sure that I'm thinking about them.
Yeah, that's probably the hardest part. I just remember thinking, you know, you get injured and all the work that you put in just kind of goes poof, disappears. And that's probably the hardest thing to get through. But it sounds like you've embraced that. You were talking about relationships with some of the guys here. That who are some of those guys that you were tight with on this team that you're happy to be teammates with again?
Oh, man, Ty, JP, then a whole bunch of guys. Cal, I felt like I was hitting off with those guys. And then from the pitching side, I tried to talk to Logan a lot, and started to get to know George there his first year up, and then I left. Luis Castillo, there's a bunch of guys, obviously Julio. A bunch of Demo has always been great for me. We've always hit it off in terms of, like, we both love strength training, and you know, he works super hard on his body, so yeah. We're always learning from each other in that regard. But there's a lot of guys here.
Cool. Do you set a marker for yourself in terms of I want to play 130 games. I want to play 150. I mean, I know you want 162, but realistically, what do you think is an achievable number? Because you've played over 100 games twice. In both those years, you crushed in those years. So, I mean, when you're out there,
yeah,
you're that guy. But what do you think realistically at this point is
a
number?
I don't really have a specific goal in terms of, like, exact number of games played. For me, I think I've always kind of, like, looked ahead too much. And so I'm really focused on just, like, okay, what do I need to do today? And I have a game plan of, like, the next 3 to 5 days. But I'm really not looking further ahead from that. And it's like, okay, what do I need to do for my mind, for my body, for my performance in today? But also, obviously, I have a couple of days planned out, and I'm not trying to even think about it. So, sorry, I didn't answer your question, but I'm not even thinking about it. I'm just trying to stay where my feet are at and enjoy and be grateful, be playing still. And, yeah, I'm not worried about it.
Is it hard for you if you're given a day where you're just going to DH, we're not going to have you in the field?
No, it's great.
Is that some guys have a hard time when they're not in the field?
No, it's great.
That you can do that, no problem.
Yeah.
What'd your offseason look like this year?
Have a kid. And
congratulations.
Yeah, pretty low-key off-seasons. We don't really do a whole lot. We live close to the beach, so, you know, get my training in and then just hang out with my family. And, really low-key, just focus on my body, focus on family time. And
was that your first?
Second. Yeah,
second
daughter. So, yeah, she was born.
Two daughters?
Yeah.
Oh,
December
you're outgunned.
3rd and 13th. So, yeah, a lot of the offseason was revolved around that. And then, like always, just training. I mean, I love what I do, and it's I go all in with this sort of stuff. So it's training takes, you know, in my opinion, if you want to go on a vacation here and there, that's great and all. But off season's where you really get a lot better.
Is it hard for you not to overdo it? Do you have to give yourself, hey, man, I got to take 3 weeks and not touch a weight?
No,
or
I don't
do
think that's
or?
The right way to do it. But in my experience, that hasn't been the right way to do it. Maybe some other guys agree. I think it's just you can still do a ton of stuff in the first part of the off season, that's not extremely taxing, but beneficial. You can do mobility, you can do long walks, hiking, you can be really strict with diet, meditate, all these sorts of things that can help you, but you're working extremely hard, just not taxing your body. So I think that's important. And, you know, people think like your rest day, you're just like eating Doritos on a couch, watching Netflix. Like I can't do it. So that's not what I do.
Yeah. So specifically, are you doing more like motion stuff, or is it more how much is weightlifting? I mean, that's always what I think about, but I worked out 30 years ago, but is that pretty much it?
Kind of do it all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all encompassing. You mentioned meditation. Are you into the mental aspect of it? That was something that I noticed. You and I went back on Twitter about a fight that was going on and how a corner man was talking to his fighter.
Yeah.
And it was more about the mentality rather than the instruction. And it seemed like you're a cerebral player.
Yeah, it's very important. I think it's what separates guys.
Is that something you focus on?
You just see the longer you play this game, and I would assume it's the same for other sports, but the guys that stick around, they just like they're either smart or they're very confident, or they're both. You know, a lot of times it's both, but the ones that don't seem to just continue to get in their own way, or they haven't had things figured out, or they're just not into learning there, or they're running from things. And I think, like, you have to, if you want to be good on the field, like, you have to look deep in your mind and understand how to concentrate better, understand how to be in control of your thoughts, in control of your heart rate, all these sorts of things. So yeah, that comes back to meditation and breathing, and just being able to calm yourself down and stay focused. And because there's a lot of spikes throughout this game with how much we play, you know, 162 games in like 180 days. There's so many ups and downs, and there's so many high moments where your blood pressure is skyrocketing and your adrenaline's up, and like, you got to be able to tone it down, because that candle burns fast if you're that way all the time.
That's got to be the hardest part, you know, like we were talking about in spring training, just like standing in the outfield.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's a lot of mental discipline, it seems like, to get through that. I mean, because a lot of it is just handling those down moments.
Yeah,
right?
And I think we're definitely, you know, in it's a sports, but it's entertainment business, right? And I think there's certain guys that, for me, my whole focus is on just like, how do I play as best of my abilities, and how do I help the guys around me do the same so we can win more games. And I think there's certain players that are big showmen, and it's great because people love it. That's never been who I am, so I don't try to be that way. Someone I've watched closely is like Ichiro. You know, he just goes about his business. He's extremely focused. He's here to win and prepare the right way. And, you know, the other stuff, it's just like, to me, for me personally, it feels like if I try to be that way, I'm wasting energy, and like you can't do that in this game. And other guys feed off of it. For me, I'm not that way, and that from a fan perspective, like, I absolutely love our fans. Like, it's amazing when you're chanting your name and doing that stuff. But that's not like my goal, is to like rile up to get the fans going. You know, I hope they get going because we perform well, we're winning. You know, like that's ultimately the goal.
I like the shirt. Doesn't matter. Get better. Is that sort of the mentality?
That's a couple of years ago we started. This was the slogan, and I love it. I just think like it should be about. That's just something that was hard for me leaving here. Was I felt like I had a part in building our culture here, and I feel like the guys on the team, we all kind of rallied around, you know, a similar mindset, and had a bunch of hard workers in our clubhouse, and kind of like restarting was weird, but it's always good to be back. I know that I fit right in with that.
You mentioned Ichiro. He's still here doing it.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable, right, man. Do you talk to him a lot?
I try to. It's not someone that I really like BS with, just because when I talk to him, I want to have specific questions. But he's always been great to me, and always willing to answer any questions I have. And I'm always looking to fine tune some things in the outfield, and he's always given me good advice.
Do you remember anything specifically, like that you asked him that was something that he helped you with? Like,
I mean, just the other day, just about outfield stuff with throwing a guy out on like a fly ball and like a tag up. Just there's a bunch of different techniques and ways to approach the ball and what side of the you should put your body on when you're making the catch. So I'll ask him specific questions on that alignment, like where are you trying to catch the ball, and you know, he'll give me an answer on, you know, right shoulder as opposed to left shoulder. So there's, and in the outfield, it's not as like, I think in the infield, it's a lot more, what's the right way to describe it? Fine tuned with mechanics. Like in the outfield, it's like, everyone's like, oh, this guy's a really good outfielder. Oh, he's not very good, but nobody really knows why. Hmm. So I think the more guys that can ask Ichiro questions, like you're going to learn a ton from him.
Yeah.
And then to have just like that awareness when we're doing all of our drills, to be working on it. I think it's easy in spring training just to kind of go through the motions and not be really locked in and focused just because there's so many reps. But I think that's the mental battle that I fight, that I just try to be really locked in and focused and keep my attention really, really sharp. And even though, you know, you might be pulling back on how physically intense you're going through the drill, there's certain days where you're a little bit lighter. Yeah. But how focused can you be and sharp with your technique is important.
Hey, as far as the rule changes, how has that impacted you, if at all, as a hitter? Pitcher speeding up, obviously, they've got a certain amount of time to throw that ball. We've seen guys who can kind of play games at the plate with the clock and the pitcher.
Yeah.
As a hitter, how have you found
that? This spring's been good. Last year, it was hard for me. I missed most of spring training last year and then kind of got thrown back into the fire quickly. And I didn't like it because it was something I had to think about. Where for, you know, 32 years or however long I've been playing professionally, I don't know, 10 years or so, you never have to think about it. So now it's like a thought that you're trying to get in, then you're like, okay, and then you're thinking about what I normally think about. So it's a weird to just let your mind go. But yeah, this year I've just made it a point to be just quicker with everything I do and just keep my, you know, stay with my breathing and make sure I'm calm, but I'm faster with it. And I think it's been going well. I feel comfortable.
Do you look at opponents like he's just number 35? And I had teammates like that. They didn't want to know anything about the person that they're facing. Or is there somebody, are you more of a guy that, like, I just got to hit off that guy. That feels really good. I mean,
it's cool to perform well against like a Hall of Famer or a guy that's really good. But dude, there's some guys that you've never heard of that are really nasty too. So I don't get caught playing that game.
Are you a guy that watches baseball if you're not playing? Are you a fan of baseball? Do you like watching other teams? Or are you like, I got to get away from the game?
So probably more on the I got to get away from it.
Yeah.
That's understandable.
More so the last couple of years.
Like,
yeah,
you don't watch the World Series or?
Oh, no, I watch. In the playoffs, I don't watch a lot of TV in general. Like, it's a point of mine that I just feel like it's a lot of dead time that I could be doing something else that's more beneficial. So I try not to watch TV in general. But when I do watch sporting events, because I love sports, the World Series. But I didn't watch every inning of every game. Most of the time I was making dinner and, yeah, it's on the background and I watched a couple, but, yeah.
Wait, you make dinner for the family?
Yeah.
You're the cook?
My wife and I both cook.
Oh, yeah. You both do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
My wife's finally, after 30 years of marriage, gotten really good, but the first 25.
She's not listening.
It was me. Yeah. No, she knows. She knows.
Yeah, we tag team it usually, and then, like, there's certain nights where she'll do it all if I'm hanging with the kids, or other nights where, you know, she's dealing with two kids under three, so I'm doing it all. But, yeah, we usually tag team it.
So awesome. You don't spend a ton of time watching TV, but at times, and you and I will talk more about this later, but you are an MMA
fan.
But
I lock in on you. I try
to. What brought you to that sport? What got you into MMA?
It's a super exciting, and I always kind of wanted to fight, but I'm happy I didn't enter that sport just for my head. Yeah, I don't know. I've always been into martial arts, and for me, I think the main reason is how much I learned from watching those guys and in the interviews, and I respect them so much because it's a one-man. So, you know, they have a team of guys that help them get ready for a fight, but when you're in there in the cage, no one can really help you. Like, we've talked about how this coach can give you advice, but, like, at the end of the day, man, it's all you in between your ears. So I watch a lot of their interviews, and I love listening to the guys talk just because I want to see what's going on between their head. And I think there might not be more pressure put on one individual in the world, like another single sport, like tennis or something like that. But you're not waking up in an octagon unconscious in those types of sports. This is like your life is on the line. So, you know, other than guys defending our country in war and putting their life on the line in that way, which I couldn't have more respect for, like, this is the next, in my mind, this is the next closest thing. So, like, why not learn from those guys that are walking into, you know, fire every night? And
you're going to take damage.
Like, they're tested. Like,
yeah.
I think the guys that are really good and the guys that, you know, I talked to you the other day about how I love listening to Poirier because, I mean, he's had huge losses, but he bounces back and wins every time. So, pretty cool to learn from a guy like that and hear what he has to say.
Have you done? You mentioned martial arts. Have you done any training?
Yeah, I did karate as a kid for like I think a couple weeks, and then I think I got kicked out.
That's cool. Bob does karate,
but I don't know. I don't know what
he thinks that's hilarious because I do jujitsu.
He's jujitsu. I know it's jujitsu.
He thinks it's hilarious.
Yeah, after baseball, I kind of want to dabble with a whole bunch of different ones and see what just perks my interest because I think it's something that I could really, really get into.
What do you think about baseball fights? Is it, you know, or is it kind of hokey? It's so weird to me because, you know, a couple of guys have a beef, and then all of a sudden everybody else comes in, and then you're supposed to get angry, and then like the bullpen guys running in together next to each other. Like, why don't they just throw down right there?
Yeah, exactly.
It just seems strange.
Just stay on the warning track and get down. It's weird, and I think a lot of times, like especially nowadays, there's not really any good ones. Right, back in the day, it used to get rowdy. But I think the only other sport that can really have a good fights is hockey.
Yeah.
Like, that's just people are like, all right, you want to fight? Go ahead. We're going to watch. Like, yeah. Go have at it.
And
where it's like in baseball, it's like you go in, like there might be one or two swings, and then you're just heads on a swivel, not trying to get hit by some guy behind you. You have people putting each other in headlocks. You have guys in cleats, like running over each other. So it's crazy. I mean,
well, yeah, and like
you got back, like I'm always there for my teammates and back them up.
Well, and you don't want to be the guy that's like hiding in the bullpen
yeah.
and didn't go out and support.
Right.
And then like football, I mean, the best move I ever saw was a guy grab a face mask and uppercut.
Yeah, because but another one's like when they punch each other, I'm like
in the
you're
helmet.
Just
you're just
hand.
Angry. You're just
right.
angry.
Yeah.
But hockey, the funny thing about it is those guys never take it personally.
Yeah,
it's like it's just like well,
that's my job, right?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Interesting.
Well, and you also learn watching football players, basketball players, and baseball players when they get in fights. Most of them don't know how to fight.
Oh yeah,
no matter what they look like, you see somebody, especially in the NBA, who's 6'8", yoked up, tatted up, and you see him throw a punch, and you're going, this guy's gonna get hurt, man. He's got no idea what he's doing.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's another scary thing to think about. It's like, yeah, I think probably 98% of us haven't had striking training, and it's like. The likelihood of if you actually exchange blows back and forth, someone's probably breaking their hand,
mm-hmm.
and
yep.
that might ruin the season.
That's exactly right.
Don't get in any fights.
Yeah,
man. We
no.
need you. We
yeah.
need you.
Yeah.
Hey, it's so good to have you back.
Thank
so
you.
So good to have
that.
You back. I know Mariner fans are excited. We can't wait to see you out there. And, of course, we wish you nothing but the best and really appreciate you taking out the time. And you and I need to just have a separate MMA conversation
yeah.
at
yeah.
some point.
There we go.
That'd be great.
Thanks, man.
Thank you, guys.
Hear Wyman and Bob every afternoon 2 to 7.